welcome to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Adrian Tutnam, and I'm going to be your guide as we ramble through a miscellany of sounds from the forgotten past. We're going to start the show today with a dexterous piano solo. Henry Steele was a composer of ragtime piano pieces in the 1920s, when ragtime was well on its way out. That probably explains why he isn't particularly well known nowadays. But sheet music of his lively and difficult piano composition still occasionally turns up. Here he is in the early 1930s, playing one of his own compositions, A Shower of Notes, backed by a rather unrehearsed orchestra. Henry Steele playing his own composition, A Shower of Notes, recorded on a Piccadilly record. The Piccadilly Company is an interesting one for collectors. As well as a selection of definitely third-rate renditions of popular tunes, it somehow contrived to record a number of artists who never made it to the major labels. Originally, the factory in Gas House Lane, Hartford, belonged to the German Lindstrom Company. But in 1923 it was acquired by Louis Sterling, who used it to make British Parlophone records. In 1928 the Parlophone label was sold to Columbia and the redundant factory was taken over by Metropole Records, who soon got into financial difficulties. They somehow or other managed to make it appear that the company was thriving and sold the tatty factory with its worn-out recording equipment to a new set of investors, Piccadilly Records. One of the owners of Piccadilly was a lady named Ursula Greville, who was well known in the upper echelons of the opera and classical music world, and was also a pretty tough and resilient character. When she saw her investment going down the drain, she took immediate and positive steps to put things right. She rolled up her sleeves, got the equipment working, and became, as far as we know, the first British woman recording engineer. The company not only produced records for sale to the public, but hit on another lucrative source of income, Octocross Records, for the cinema trade. They recorded cinema organs and sold the records for use in cinemas that didn't have organs, to enable them to entertain their patrons with popular music during the interval. The potential snag with that idea only becomes apparent when you realise that the recording machine was solidly bolted down in the factory in Hartford, and the cinema organs were miles away and even less portable than the recorder. The problem was solved by the simple expedient of connecting the cinema to the factory by telephone line. During the night, when the lines were not heavily used, the company rented long-distance telephone circuits of music quality and used them to send the sound from cinema organs from anywhere in the country back to the recording equipment in Gas House Lane. Here is one such recording. The microphone was hung through a ceiling ventilator in the Plaza Cinema Rugby and connected to amplifiers in a spare room backstage, from which signals were fed to the local telephone exchange and onto the long-distance lines. When the patrons had gone home after the last film, the resident organist, Frank Newman, recorded numerous selections of popular music, light classics, and occasionally his own compositions. Although several hundred records may have been pressed of each tune, they were soon worn out by repeated playing in cinema projection rooms and then thrown away. Thanks to Frank Newman's family, who treasured the test pressings sent to him by the record company, we're still able to hear the only surviving record of him playing his own composition, Cinderella's Shoe. Was Frank Newman in May 1935 playing his own composition, Cinderella's Shoe, on the organ of the Plaza Cinema Rugby. But that wasn't the only unusual recording that came to light when we were looking for recordings of Frank Newman. Amongst his family's souvenirs was a test pressing of a recording that the engineers had made for themselves, recorded directly off the cinema loudspeakers during the final performance of the evening. So here's a short extract from that test recording of Follow the Fleet, as the audience heard it in the Plaza Cinema Rugby in 1936. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. The acoustics of the Plaza Cinema were quite distinctive because the organ was mounted some distance behind the screen and connected to the auditorium by a brick tunnel. Another venue with quite distinctive but much better acoustics was well known to all the major recording companies. The Kingsway Hall in London was reputed to have the best acoustics for orchestral recording of anywhere in London, possibly even the best in England. Many hundreds of fine recordings have been made there over the years, and orchestras used to love this slightly dowdy and old-fashioned building, even though it was heated by a coke boiler which spread dust over their clothing, their scores and their instruments. In December 1938, with the boiler probably doing its worst, the London Palladium Orchestra came to the Kingsway Hall to play the Merchant of Venice suite by Frederick Ross. The resulting recording was a masterpiece, and we've already heard some of it in an earlier programme. This time I'm playing the second prelude, and one of Ross's best-known pieces, The Doge's March.
Thank you.
The London Palladium Orchestra, conducted by Clifford Greenwood, playing the Doge's March from Ross's Merchant of Venice Suite in 1938. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. Victorian parlour music was often written with a simple melody and elaborate piano accompaniment so that mediocre singers could rely on the skills of the pianist to cover up their inadequacies. One such melody, The Rosary by Ethelbert Nevin, is so simple you could play it on almost anything, even a musical saw. In fact, after hearing this next record, I hope you will agree with me that if ever there was a melody that begged on its bended knee to be played on a musical saw, it was Nevin's Rosary. Ethelbert Nevin's Victorian parlour song, The Rosary, played by Charles Hall on the musical saw in September 1932. We're coming up to our last record now, and to follow The Rosary, I think it had better be something cheerful. So this is Adrian Tuddenham, thanking you for listening and looking forward to your company next week. I'm going to play the programme out with a jolly dance number, recorded on Piccadilly Records by Vincent Brooks and his band. It's called The Punch and Judy Show. Thank you.
Everybody.